Blog Talk Radio.
You guys can catch that one too. That we thought we were recording and we were not. We are in for a treat today, and I want to welcome everybody that is tuned in and who's going to tune in after the show in the midst of the week. Hope everybody has had an amazing week so far. And I know we are coming up on some really weird times. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm feeling something in the air. And I'm trying not to feel fear, okay? Because sometimes when we don't understand what's going on and it looks so bleak that we're thinking, oh, my God, what in the world is going on here? What's getting ready to happen here? Family, I hope you guys are have done your due diligence. I hope you guys have gotten your extra food because I don't think this year is going to go out like we think. I hope everybody has gotten your emergency kit, and we did do a show. First of all, let me just welcome everybody. I'm doing Blog Talk and YouTube, so I do both shows at the same time. YouTube, Blog Talk, let me give you the number to call in case you guys want to call in and share. 563-999-3682 is the number for Blog Talk if you want to call in and conversate without being on camera. You want to come on YouTube. I did put the the ID or the, I guess, the information in the chat for you to call in on. So feel free. I don't want to sit here and talk all day by myself, but we are, it is the changing of the God, the reconstruction of 2020. And I'm telling you, we are into some stuff right now, and it is just so very fearful. And I know God is not the author of fear, but it's the unknown, okay? I remember the Pope saying at one time that last Christmas, I think, or this Christmas was going to be the last Christmas. I didn't know what he meant, but I think I have an idea of what he meant. We have got to start preparing, and I hope that you guys have already prepared, because we have talked about this several times, and I hope that you guys have already started preparing. I hope you guys have gotten your food. There is a website, thepatriot.com, and they you can get like so many 4 weeks or so many hours of food, okay? And I think it's like $200, you can put down like $100, and then you can pay an extra $100 like in 2 weeks. I don't know why people always call me when I'm on my live. I don't know. I don't understand that. But, okay. So just call that place if you have not. Or you can go to the dollar store or you can go to different little stores where you can get the little sardines, crackers, non-perishable food, and get lots of it, and doing 50 cents for here and there for the canned goods was 38 cents somewhere. You can kind of stock up every paycheck from now on, just do $20. But right now, we are in a state of emergency. You need to start stacking up now. Get your paper towel and toilet paper, Lysol, get that. For we are in the pandemic again. And it really is weird how nobody is dying of cancer, nobody is dying of flu, nobody is dying of heart attack, nobody is dying of anything else but COVID. You know, it's part of the pandemic. And that's what I'm going to call it, because that's what it is. Be very careful who you listen to. Be very careful the news you're listening to, because they're in on it. They teach you and show you how to think, what to think. So it's subliminal messages in our programming. There is a movie, Songbird. I hope you guys have watched that or are going to watch it. Telling you, showing you where we're going. We are in the new world order. We are in the reset of the economy, and I hope you guys know that. A lot of people are still, I've seen something with Jay-Z and Gucci or something. I'm like, you guys, black family, come on. You guys are so off focus right now. This is not the time. You're watching a lot of sports. They try to keep you off focus. They're trying to keep you distracted. You are not. This is not the time to be distracted. This is not the time not to practice your Second Amendment. This is not the time not to be preparing for a shutdown, because it's coming. A shutdown is coming. So I hope you guys have already gotten your food. Some people that have already started gardening, planted your food. And I'm not trying to do fear. I'm not trying to fearmonger anything right now. I am just trying to alert black family, my black folk, black family, on what we need to be doing. I hope you've gotten your emergency kits. And, we're in some very troubling times. As you see, we voted in Biden. And y'all know how I feel about that. We didn't vote for self. We didn't free ourselves. We voted for other people. Which is still sad, because things are still the same, as you see. Nothing has changed. He's talking about taking your guns. He's talking about bringing in 11 million immigrants. He's talking about giving the police, the KKK and Blue, who are murdering you, $300 million more. He's not talking about defunding. He's not talking about dismantling. He's not talking about allocating funds somewhere else. He's talking about giving $300 million to the KKK and Blue. I'm just saying. So for us to do what we've done, it's old news. I hope and pray that it changes for you, which I know it won't, but I'm just saying. Because we've had 45 other presidents who have not done. We've had Obama. We've had Trump. We've had Clinton. We've had Reagan. We've had Bush. We've had 45 other presidents who have done absolutely nothing for black people. So now all of a sudden we think this Democratic Party has been the worst in history as far as black folks are concerned, and we really think that they're going to do something for us, which is really sad and pathetic. It's almost like you have a partner, and, you're going to work, and that the partner's laying on the couch every day, and you come in, and you look, and they're still there. You go to work, they're there, and you come home, they're there,
And then they look up at you after they've been there on the couch all day, and they look at you and say, hey, what's for dinner? And you're looking at them like, huh? You know. And then they look up at you the next day and say, hey, when are you going to wash? I need some new underwear, or I need some new panties, or whatever. And you're looking at them like, when are you going to do something? Well, he's looking at you to do everything. He don't have to, because you're doing it for him, okay? And it's almost how we are. We're waiting for them to do something for us, and they're not. They're not. They're not going to do anything. And just like it's vice versa, that person is waiting for you to do something, and you're waiting for them. Just like, you know, the mate that's sitting on the couch, he's waiting for you, and you're waiting for him to get up, or her to get up off the couch to do something. And it's almost like we're waiting for each other. We're waiting for somebody. Somebody, please come and help us. Somebody, anybody. Anybody, I don't care who. Anybody, somebody but us. And then when we do have somebody like us that try to help us, we, you know, we go all crazy, get all crazy. We talk Ice-T. We talked about him like a dog. We talked about him like a dog, but he was trying to fight for black people, and we were so used to white supremacy fighting for us or not doing anything for us. So we saw a black man trying to do something for us. We got mad. So make that make sense. I can't make that make sense to save my life. But we got upset when Ice-T, I don't know why I always say that, Lord. Please, y'all. Okay, I'm getting it. But Ice Cube, he, you know, was trying to do for black, you know, he had a black agenda, had a black contract, Black America, what we do. We talked him out. We talked about it. We put him down. He was trying to help you, and we didn't want his help. We wanted white Zaddy's help. We wanted Bush Biden's help, who has been known for years to be a racist, years. He's one of those kids that will throw the rock and hide the sand and look at you like, what? What do you mean? What happened? Oh, who did that? I've seen the same rock. Did you see it? That's him. And we are dumb enough to believe that he's going to help you. Yes, he's put a lot of black folks that look like black folks in office or throughout his cabinet. But guess what? These black people have sold you out. I mean, I'm going to do a show next week, and it's going to be, how do we recognize? How do we recognize B1 folk? How do we recognize black folk that has black folk back? How do we recognize? Today's title is what? Is it going to, what has it cost black folks for not doing for self? What has it cost us? It's cost us a lot. It has cost us to what I'm seeing now. I look at the little boy, Quan, or whatever, I think that's his name, Quan, that was found in the field, okay, in the sugar, whatever kind of field it was. And he was, they said he drowned. Okay, for one, I don't know who put him there. I don't know how he drowned, but they say he drowned. I look at the parenting, and I look at how, you know, his dad didn't know for a few days. His mom didn't know for a few days. But he's 15. So why didn't you know for a few days that he was missing? It's so many questions that I'm not understanding. And it goes back to our parenting. It goes back to us conforming. It goes back to us learning ways of our enemy. Our enemies parent like this. This is not how we parent. Our children do not go missing for days and we don't know they're gone. Or we come home and they're not there. We don't have a note, or they didn't call us and say, hey, mom, I'm going so-and-so. When I was coming up, you didn't leave the house. You called your parents. They knew where you were going. They knew who you were going with. My kids, when they were coming up, can I spend a night? No. Can I go so-and-so have a play date? Let me talk to their mom. Who's going to be there? What's going on at your house? Who's, you know, I knew everything about that family. I didn't just say, oh, you can go on a play date, or I didn't just, you know, not have any rules. And my child couldn't call, you know, tell somebody else to come and get me. And then, you know, my mom, I didn't know where they were. Our parenting style has changed, family. We've got to get back to parenting. We've got to get back to understanding who's your child's friend. Who, just like they say that young man, the person, the white family that picked him up, they say he knew this kid. They knew each other. Even though he was 17 and the young boy that drowned was only 15. But they say they knew each other. He had bought a dog from him. But my thing is, when the lady picked him up, and I'm going to tell you another thing, if that lady had picked up one of my children, she would have been totally responsible. So if my child come up missing or dead or beat or whatever, I'm going to step to you because you picked up my child. Just like if I go and pick up somebody's child, I'm totally responsible. I am totally responsible for that child. So if that child's arm gets broken, that child dies, whatever happens to that child, I take full responsibility. But that's not what happened in this case. This child was able to leave her house. Just like he left his own house, he was able to leave her house. Okay, why didn't she drop him back off at his house where she picked him up? That's the questions. I have so many questions and no answers. Nobody knows. What was he doing in the field by himself? Okay, maybe he left her house and said, okay, I'm going to walk. But how far did they live away from each other? What was he walking to?
who took the picture of him walking through the cornfield or whatever field that was, sugarcane field, whatever field that was, who took the picture of him walking by himself? So you were there with him. That's what I'm saying. Y'all didn't catch that. I caught it. I said, who took the picture? How did the picture come up to where nobody else was in this picture but him? Where did the picture come from? Who took the picture? They say he drowned. How do you drown in an ankle, you know, like ankle foot high water? How do you drown? Who held his head down? That's my question. Parents, we, black culture, I'm talking to black folks. We have got to get back to parenting. We have just lost our minds. Anything goes now, whatever they feel like they want. You parent like white folks. We don't parent like this. We don't parent like this. We parent just like our enemies parent. They don't have control of their children, and guess what? You're getting just like them. Y'all said learn out their ways, be separate, and come from among. Those are three things that he commanded us to do, and what are we doing? We learning their ways, acting just like them, conforming, fitting in, and trying to kiss their behind, and wanting to learn their ways. Everything he told us not to do, we're doing. And then we wonder why we're dying from COVID. A lot of this stuff is not supposed to be affecting you, black family, but it's affecting you because guess what? You're acting like them. You think they're for your friends. You're marrying them. You're having sex with them. You're having relationships with them. You're being best friends with them. That's not what he told you to do. That's why a lot of this stuff that's coming on the earth right now, these traumas, these curses, plagues, you're going to be affected because you are mixing and mingling, which is not what he told you to do. He told you, I'm going to say it again, to come from among, learn not the ways, and be separate. Those are the three things he told you to do, and that's not what we're doing. We are conforming. We are trying to be friends with best friends. I met a lady the other day said, "What's my best friend's wife?" You're an idiot. That's what I told her. I don't care. I'm not holding my tongue. You are an idiot. Because for you to call a white person your best friend, then you are sadly mistaken and you're blinded. And if you don't wake up, you're going to die too. Two-thirds. Two-thirds of black folk are going to die because of some thing. We won't separate ourselves. We be ye separate. We won't do it. We are so busy trying to make them want to be our friends that we totally negate, totally forgotten what we were commanded to do. He never told you to marry him. Martin Luther King told you, to come together with your enemies. That was not God. That was Martin Luther King. He said, "Oh, I had a dream." Okay, well, who gave you that dream? Nobody asked the question, who gave him that dream? It wasn't a God dream because God's word said, "Be ye separate, come from among, and do not learn the ways of your enemy." That's his word. So who gave him that dream? We didn't question that. We just said, okay. But we had 200 cities over here. We had our own schools, own hospitals, and that's what it cost us. What had it cost us? What had it cost black folks for not doing for self? It's cost us our family. It's cost us our own city. It's cost us our own wealth. It's cost us a lot. We had over 200 cities. It's cost us our black neighborhoods. It's cost us our own hospitals, our own clinics, our own banks, our own everything. It's our own taxis, our own buses, our own manufacturing companies. It's cost us a lot because right now they know what we can do. So they will do everything to stop you from happening. So what are we going to do? We stay up under the, you know, they bring in their black folk that look like us, and they allow them, and we allow them to infiltrate. We know they don't sound black. We know they don't have our back, but what do? We leave them in office for 30 years. What has it cost us? It's cost us our freedom. What has it cost us to vote for people over and over and over, a party that is so adamant and hates you? And you know they hate you. They only want you because you're vote. And now they're not going to need you because guess what? The new black is immigration. The new black is Mexican. The new black is people of color, which is not black folk. They're talking about immigrants. Biden said, "I'm bringing 11 million immigrants in." And what's he doing that for? Because he's going to, remember how black folk wouldn't vote for him, and he had such a hard time getting in? I mean, he fought for that office. He fought. If it wasn't for black folk, he wouldn't have made it. You, my black family, congratulations. You have just nailed your own coffin because you put in a man that told you, "I am going to replace you with 11 million immigrants." You think he's not? Oh, he's going to do it. And guess what? If you don't have your own business, you're not going to get a job. If you're not manufacturing your own, you're not going to get a job. If you don't have your own business and we don't learn how to support each other's businesses, you're going to be hungry because he already told you. And you can see already from 20 years ago how the manufacturing companies, as far as the construction companies, they don't hire black people. Go out to some of these construction sites. I rode through one the other day, and I counted the black people. One. And I went to another one. I counted the black people. None. That right there, who used to work construction? Not the black folks. We used to work construction all the time. That was what we did. What happened? We got replaced, and we're getting replaced, and we're not thinking nothing of it. I went to a Walmart. Went to California. Went to Walmart. How many blacks did I see in there besides shopping? None working there. None. Not one. Who was working there? Mexicans. Immigrants. Because Mexico was right around them, up the street, up the corner, and they were coming in, working, and going back home. I'm just saying. We have to we are not understanding how much of a danger we are in right now. It's almost like we are extinct. And we don't even understand it. We are so busy trying to help them to survive, and nobody's helping, and we're not helping us to survive, that we're helping them to survive, we're helping them to live. We marry them, we have babies by them, we date them, because they need us to survive. They need us. And what do? We're continuously helping them out. We're continuously having babies by them, continuously dating, continuously. We will fight for them and fight against your own. And that's what we did with this election. We lost family members. We lost friends over two racist, dried-up prunes. We lost friends behind these devils. People weren't speaking to each other. They disrespected Ice Cube. Totally disrespected him, totally disregarded what he was saying because he was going against the grain. But he was going against the grain to help black people, and we totally disrespected him. We talked about it. We got mad at him because we won't buy it. Why? What did he promise you? For you to go against your own brother, tell me what did Biden promise you? He didn't promise you anything. Yeah, he put coons and he put a whole lot of black folks under him, around him. But those black folks, they not for you. You gonna know the difference. Simone Sanders is not for you. Richmond, the dude Seymour, I don't know his name. But he was the one that called Ice Cube. He said he called Ice Cube and Ice Cube wouldn't talk to him or whatever. He's not for you. Roland Martin is not for you. You have black Democrats. They're so sold out to this political party, no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter what they see, because they'll say, oh, we're Democrats. Every 4 years, we make a half of an inch of an inch. What does that mean? No, if you really look at it, we've not made half of an inch of an inch of an inch. We've not moved forward any. The wealth gap is still there. We still can't get business loans for our businesses. We're still going through police brutality. We're still going through the same stuff that Black Panther is going through. So where do we get ahead? I know some black people say, well, during Trump I made some money. Okay, I can believe that because I have seen this year more black owned businesses coming forth. I have seen that. So I can say yes. I've seen more where black people are coming and we're evolving. We're coming into our own businesses. But I want us to support our own. I don't just want them to pop up with the different businesses, but we don't support them. We have to support them. That's what I'm saying. And we have to change our mindset. So we have somebody that's really fighting for us. We get behind that person. We didn't even think about getting behind that person. We didn't even think about getting behind Ice Cube. We totally fought against him. We talked about him like a dog. We cussed him out. And we looked to Biden and say, that's our God. That's our man. He got us. He going to do this for us. He going to do that for us. And we're going to hold him accountable. But you didn't hold him accountable for the election. So how can you hold somebody accountable? That's just like somebody coming to my house, and I want them to redo my floors, or I want them to paint my kitchen, or I want them to paint my house. And I pay them up front. Are they coming back? Why would they? They got paid. Or are they going to do the job that they needed to do for me? They got their money. So a lot of times, many of times people say, you know, pay them anything, or you can pay them, you know, maybe half, not even half. You can give them, you know, maybe a down payment or a deposit. And after they complete the work and you look and see that they've completed the work and they've done it right, then you pay them. You don't pay them fully without you even going behind them, checking to see if they painted it right. If do I see paint on the floors? Do I see paint on the walls, where on the ceiling? Do I see, did they get it on the floors? Or what? I have to go behind them and check before I pay them, because if I pay them, even after they did the work, and if it's not right, and if I pay them, they're not coming back. So you have to understand what we did. We were backward. We were backward. We didn't request anything. We didn't demand anything. We told him, he told us what? Wait till after the election. And us like dummies said, okay, we're waiting after. Now we got people calling him. He won't return calls. They texting him, won't return the texts. Emailing him, won't return the emails. Well, why would he? Why would he? For people that said that they cared about themselves, how do you care about yourself when you don't put yourself first? When other people come to you and say, hey, let's ask for something first. You look to him and say, no, you can't ask for anything. He's not in office. How does that make sense? That makes no sense to me. When I hear people saying that, I look at them and I'm like, are you drunk, drug, or high? What? Or stupid, which is it? I don't understand. You just paid him for a job that he didn't even do. You didn't request. You didn't even make a. You didn't even make a statement. You didn't even put any. You put nothing out there. You said, "Well, we're gonna wait till after the election, and we're gonna hold him accountable." What are you holding him accountable for? You didn't request anything. You didn't demand anything. How can you hold somebody accountable for something that you didn't ask for? And we still have not asked for anything. He already told you, I'm not dismantling the police. I'm not defunding the police. Those are the, that's the main thing we need right now. And he already told you no. He told you, I'm not for reparations. That's what we need right now. He already told you, I'm not closing the wealth gap. That's what we need right now. He already told you. So what is it now that you want him to do? Because the things that we really need most in our community, he already told you, I'm not doing it. Kamala Harris, I also told you. Talked about him when she was running against him. Said yes that his policies were racist. Yes that his policies hurt the Black community. She said that. That came out of her own mouth, and I played it on one of my last shows, last two shows, I think it was. I played it for her. I'm not going to play it again because I already played it. That's what she said. Pull up a couple of my two videos back. I can't remember the names of them, but just go. I have a whole load of them. Just go ahead and start listening to me. You'll see. But my thing is, you didn't request anything. His own vice president told you before she chose to be his vice president that his policies were racist, his policies hurt Black community, his policy hurt the Black family. So what have we lost for not doing for self? Black families. What have we lost? Money, communities, wealth, our own businesses, manufacturing, bus stations, bus companies. Martin Luther King taught us how to request a seat on a bus, but not owning the bus companies. Why are we owning the bus companies? We have Black folk are worth $1.2 trillion right now. If we want to do something, it's going to be up to us. NFAC, it's doing donations right now. And he said, you want our own militia? We want our own defense team. That you can, and that's info@blackinfact.com. And you can do donations if you want your own defense team. And I think we need our own defense team. We have to start somewhere. And even with that, people are dogging this brother out who's trying, again, to help Black people. But guess what? Here again, we don't have to fight. We don't need the KKK to fight us. We don't need the white militias to fight us. We will fight for them. We will fight each other for them. The gangs, we will fight each other for them. We will kill each other for them. They don't have to do anything. They can just sit on the sidelines, and they can just say one thing about NFAC, and we'll jump on the bandwagon. They said one thing about this brother, and people, Black folks, jump on the bandwagon. They know how to get us. We are so emotional that they said one thing about him. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. And what do? Jump right in there. Look, I'm for anybody Black that's trying to help Black folks. I am totally with you. I am for anybody Black that's the one that's trying to help Black folks. That's my thing. I don't care. I am for anybody Black that's trying to help Black people and putting Black people first. That's who I'm for. No, I don't hate any other race. I don't have any feelings for another race. I don't care about another race. Because Black people right now, we are in such a 9-1-1 that we better get it together. Thinking back on how many cities, we had over 200 cities before we integrated. Where are those Black cities? We had our own football league, our baseball league. We could have that again. We can have our own football league. We can have our own entertainment. Our entertainers have been entertaining for so long, they could have had their own network. They could have had their own radio stations. They could have had their own TV. Dr. Boyce Watkins is coming up with the Black Movie Nights. He has Black Movie Nights. That should have been done. We've been mixing and mingling for so long, we forgot how to take care of self. We forgot how to build for self. We forgot how to build our own manufacturing companies. We forgot how to have our own hospitals. We forgot. We come up under them for treatment. People that don't like you, you wanted them to save you through COVID. How did that work for you, Black family? People that don't like you, you gave them your children to teach them. How did that work out for our children? People that don't like you, that don't treat you well, won't treat your children well. And we've seen that. Look at the school system. They shipped them, they shipped our babies right off to prison. But we trusted them. Why would you trust your enemy? Because Martin Luther King said it was okay? But they were showing you every day. Their history showed you that we hate you. They would have a perpetual hatred for us. Our history has shown us that. And now our history has shown us through the Tuskegee Institute that we can't trust them. And you still have Black people say, oh, I'm going to take the vaccine. Two-thirds will die. I'm just saying, two-thirds of my Black folk will die because of stupidity. Because the word says my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And we seem to have a lack of knowledge. And, yes, I'm fussing today because I'm so tired of it because we could do better. 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 And we should be doing better. But we're not. We're still stuck. We're still looking for a president to do for us. We voted. We was happy. We was excited. We was in the street. We was acting like we were free. We acted like we were going through slavery, free Negroes. That's what we acted like. What were we dancing for? What did we get? What did we get? He's trying to take your gun. Black folks are just getting to the point where they're buying, they're practicing their Second Amendment. And now he's trying to take them because he wants to give you a vaccine. And I'm telling you, it's going to be within the next few weeks. It's going to be before December 21st. I'm telling you, they got some stuff up their sleeve. Family, if you're not ready, if you're not willing, if you're not aware, you are going to get caught up. And he's coming through the hospital workers, the military. Then he talked about the older people, and then Black folks. I'm just saying, don't think you're not on that list. Don't think you're not on that list. FEMA has hired, what they call these people? They call them something, and they had an opening for, and these are snitch. They're like snitchers, and they watch, and they come, and they, I guess, go back and tell who they suspect is being sick. That H.R. 666, that bill, 0606, whatever, it was a bill. That bill is very dangerous for Black people. And that's, I call it the snitcher's bill, because it watches, it snitches, it goes, and okay, looking at your neighbor. If your neighbor look like they're, sick, neighbor look like COVID needs to be called out, the COVID team, that's what they're doing. It's the snitcher's bill. And that's what I call it. The H.R. 666 is the snitcher's bill. I mean, it's a whole lot of stuff in this vaccine that don't sound too healthy for Black people. So I'm just saying, we still trust in our enemies. We still have not gotten it, that we cannot, they can't be trusted. History tells us they can't be trusted. History shows us that they can't be trusted. We remember what the Tuskegee Institute was, how they gave those men syphilis, and they did for 40 years, that program went on for 40 years. Most of those people, not only did the men die, but their wives died, children died, babies died. I'm just saying, we have to stop, look, just, it just makes me so angry how we don't look at our history. We look, I don't know what we're looking at. We're going by today. But if the history tells me a person is racist, or the history tells me that throughout their career that they've had black, non-black, or they've had policies against Black people, you think I'm going to vote for him? You think I'm going to put my name behind him? When I saw this man devastate the Black community, our families, what does it cost us? Our families, our men, our women, our children are dying, unarmed. That's what it's cost us. And we're sitting here, we still don't get it. We still went to vote for this man. We still, even after all of the devastation that he did in our communities, to our families, we still rewarded him. That right there hurts my heart so bad I can't stand to look at the, I can't stand the sight of him. I'm serious. I can't stand the sight of this man, this racist devil who threw a rock at the Black community and then lied and told us, oh, the Black leaders did it, the Black pastors did it, the Black caucus did it. Yes, but he didn't tell you that he wrote it. He didn't tell you that he put $30 billion behind it. Each state got $30 billion to use his law. Each state. He didn't tell you that, did he? He just looked and throw the rock, had his hands and looked at the black leaders, the one that this, the black leaders, the black caucus, the black this, the blackity, black. But he's not gonna tell you. Just like a kid come up and tell you, oh, you know, so-and-so hit me, so-and-so did, but they didn't tell you, well, guess what, I hit her first, and I said what I said about her mama first, so she slapped the hell out of me, and now I'm coming to tell you that she slapped me, but I'm not going to tell you what I did first. I'm just saying, that's what it is. That's what we're dealing with. When we're looking at Biden, that's what we're looking at, and we are so excited, and we don't even understand the dangers. This man is the most dangerous because he is not running his mouth. That right there should scare the hell out of most black folks. When them quiet storms come, haven't you met a person that's super quiet and they won't get mad, they won't get upset, but they're the quiet one. But when they do, they tear the house down. Haven't you seen that? That's what we're dealing with Biden. He's not as loud. He's not as loud as Trump, but he's just as racist, honey. And his record shows. I've seen Trump where Trump was with Jesse Jackson. I've seen Trump when he was with all the black entertainers. I've seen Trump. Yeah, he probably was. And Daddy, I've known Trump history. Daddy was racist for years. Daddy was part of the Klan. He's racist. We're not saying he's not. Yes. But I'm going to tell you what. I'd rather hear what he's getting ready to do. Trump couldn't keep no secrets. We knew everything, every step that he was doing because he had a big mouth. And he was narcissist. We could have gotten Trump to do anything for us. All he had to do was say, oh, Obama did this for us. Obama did that. And he'd have went and tried to improve it. He'd have tried, but no black leaders will come to the table with Trump and say, this is what we want. Not a one. The same with Biden. But they'll tell Biden, but Biden ain't listening. Biden is like, I don't care what y'all need. I don't care what y'all want because I'm not doing it. He already told y'all he wasn't doing it. But you thought he was lying? Really? Okay, he's going to show you better than he can tell you. This is the sad part about it. This is what hurts my heart, that we couldn't trust us enough to hear. We didn't hear. We didn't want to hear. We went back what the media told us. Oh, we got to get Trump out of there. Oh, my God. Now, we had our election. Whatever happened, I don't know what they I heard. I'm hearing everything. I don't care. My thing is this vaccine, okay? This vaccine is coming, whether you like it or not. You better have a plan. You better have an emergency kit. You better have some food because they coming. When they knock at your door, are you going to answer the door? I'm not answering nothing. You won't have to break up in here. When you come breaking up in here, you in trouble. I'm just saying, you got to get your mind straight, family. We got to get our mind straight. Do we have a team? Do we have family? Do we have people that can back up? Because they want to put you by yourself because they're going to lock you down. And Trump said, 24 hours after they make the announcement, because we are still under emergency, okay? We're a state of emergency. We are still under that. He never rescinded that. Never. He never rescinded that. But we are still in a state of emergency. You guys know that, right? So any time that he says this thing is shut down, martial law, that we can't move, can't go nowhere, can't do nothing, you're going to be at home by yourself. You don't have nobody to help you fight. So when those 20 guards come at your front door, what you going to do? What are you going to do? When they tell you you can't go back to your job and you know most black folks, we live paycheck to paycheck. So when they tell you that you cannot go back to work, what are you going to do? When they sit up there and tell you, okay, I'm going to pay your house off, pay your car note off, pay your IRS bill, pay your student loans, only if you take this vaccine, what are you going to do? I'm just saying, we better get ready. I hope you got your heart right. I hope you got your mind right. I hope you are ready to say no, because that is the mark of the beast. It's changing your DNA. Pastor Stephen Darby talked about this 5 years before he died. He talked that he's been dead, 2 years? But 5 years, 7 years, he talked about this. 7 years back, he talked about this very thing happening. That man had so much revelation, and I listened to his tape, and he said, what they got coming is going to change your DNA. How did he know that? That man had so much revelation. Everything that he talked about, the last 5 years came true within 2020. Everything he talked about. Everything. I would have loved to have seen what he would have said about this right here, but he has just died, and I do believe that something happened. Never know. I don't know. His family never said anything. You know, we didn't get any results as far as what, but I do believe that it was some hanky-panky. I do believe that, but I'm telling you, family, we have got to get our minds right. We have got to get ready for what's coming. It has cost us a lot. It has cost us our sanity. It's confused black people.
We are so busy, we don't even recognize anyone. We don't even recognize people that have our back. We look at Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Abrams, and we look at Carmela Harris, who has said that because she looks black, she's not. Look at her birth certificate. Her birth certificate says she's Asian American, okay? She's not black. But guess what? We don't see that. We're looking at her black. We're looking at this right here. Okay, I could be sitting up here, look black, but I'm from Haiti or I'm from Jamaica, but I don't have that black struggle. I don't know the black struggle. I don't know what you guys suffered through slavery. So I would have a different mindset coming over here because I came over here. I'm coming over here to be free. I'm coming over here to get freedom. I'm coming over here because the white folk allowed me to come over here, because I guarantee you, if they allow people to come in this country from Haiti, you better believe that they are sold out to white folk, okay? If they allow people to come over here from Jamaica or Africa, you better believe that they vetted them and they are sold out for white people. They are not going to have a Julius Milano come over here from Africa. They're not going to have a Patrice Lombardi coming over here from Africa. They're not going to have Black Panther, half of the Black Panthers coming from Africa over here. They're not going to have a Black Panther group coming over here with a heart to save black folks. They're not going to let them come over here. You know what I'm saying? So you have to understand the ones who are in Congress, who are in the Senate. Okay, that's from Jamaica. That's from the Caribbean. That's from Sudan. That's from different places in Africa. They've already been vetted, and they are working for them. So because you're looking at a person in Congress, they have not done anything for black people. They are the ones that make the law. Have they made any laws for black people? Have they made any laws against police brutality? Have they made any laws against our wealth, collecting our wealth? Have they made any laws for our children's schools? Have they made any new laws regarding black people? No. What they'll do is say, oh, the color. They'll put the color, they'll put the color people, or they'll put the brown people, or they'll put the, they talk about everybody else to immigrate. Oh, the DACA, we're going to do something for DACA. What about black people? I've not heard anybody say we're going to do anything for black people. I've heard benign neglect black folk. Don't promise them anything. Don't even mention them. And that's exactly what they didn't do. They mentioned you a few times during the election, but they never said what they were going to do. But they said the first 100 days, we're going to do this for the LGBT. We're going to do this for the Jews. We're going to do this for the – everybody was included. But you, they even said, we're going to do this for color, people of color. That don't mean you, so don't get it twisted. When they say people of color, they're talking about immigrants. They're not talking about you, black family. So it is time for us to understand, who are they really talking about? Who are they really talking about? Because we've decided not to do for self, our children, our men, have filled the prison through the Biden-Clinton's law, the three strikes law, the drug act law, the 95 crime bill, the 84 crime bill. We have trusted white folk with our babies, and they have brainwashed our babies into believing that the one they have, hold on, I'm trying to read. See, this is why I don't write stuff down, because when I start reading stuff, I like to go off my brain, and I started to try to read it. But they have brainwashed our children. We already know that, right? And they have trained and taught our children how to worship them. They've trained our children how to love white folk. They've trained our children how great they are. But, of course, that was what they were supposed to do. We never should have given them our children. We were never supposed to, because when they opened their schools for us to come in, our teachers were not even allowed to teach their children. Why were some of those black teachers that was in those black schools that had to close because we took our children away from our black student school? And we closed them down. So our black teachers that were supposed to go to those white schools to work, they didn't even hire the black teachers to teach their children, did they? But we put our children up under these white devils, didn't we? We put our children up under them, and we allowed them to teach our children. They weren't allowed, our teachers weren't allowed to teach their children. They were smarter than us. What did Malcolm X say? Malcolm X said only a fool would allow their enemies to teach their children. Only a fool would allow, and we still do it. We complain about the prison, the school to the prison pipeline, but we don't do anything about it. We're not doing anything about it. The Muslims have a black school. We can, okay, yes, they charge, but guess what? We have to, because we don't get government money. We have to. Even if you had to pay $100 for a week of school, okay, you pay it in daycare. Go ahead and pay it for them to get a better education, so that they can understand their blackness. That's what it's about.
We have to pay. This is the stuff. They're not going to give us grants for us pulling our children out of their schools. They're not going to give us money to pay for us to teach our children about us. They're not going to give us government-funded money to help us educate our children to understand that being black is okay. They're not going to do that. So guess what? It's up to us. If we want to be free, it's going to be up to us. If we want to get out of this rut, get out of what we are worth $1.2 trillion. Stop spending money. You better have your silver. You better have your gold. Because I'm telling you, you better have Bitcoin. You better be investing your money. You better have a wallet. Because guess what? If you still are holding on to currency, you're getting ready to lose it. Look up Lynette Zane, Pimpy Investments. Listen to them too. That's who I listen to for my financial, because I want to understand how white folks doing. What are they doing? What they doing? Because black folks not talking about this. I went to a black man, and he's an investor, a financial advisor. I asked him, what about silver? He goes, oh, man, we could just now. And I'm looking at him like, are you serious? He didn't even know. He was a black financial advisor. He didn't know anything about me investing in silver. He couldn't even tell me about Bitcoin. I'm like, what are we supposed to be investing in right now? Oh, he talked to me about the stock market. Okay, but at the time, I didn't know about the stock market. The stock market was crashing. So I'm like, what am I going to get into in the stock market? How much money should I put into it? My thing is, we have to have advisors that know and that are up to date with stuff. We have to have advisors that know what's the trend, what's going on. We are in a reset, and half black folks don't even understand. We are in a financial reset. The dollar is going to be done away with. They are going to digitize us. They're going to put your money on a card, and I'm telling you, it's going to be probably like $2,000 a month. That's not enough to do anything with, but you're not going to have to pay any bills. They're going to, in order for you to get this, they're going to pay your house off, no more IRS, no more student debt. So that $2,000 is literally going to be for you to live on. But you're not going to own your home. You're not going to own anything. They're going to take all of that. I'm telling you, look up the future. I'm listening to these guys. You have to listen to this. You have to listen to somebody that knows what's coming. They invest. They know all. I didn't know anything about investing. When I went to somebody, I said, what are we supposed to be doing? They were still on the stock market trip. I don't know how to do stock market. I put a little money in something, but I want to do trading. Put it in, pull it out. That's what I know how to do. That's what I want to be able to do. But that's not what they were talking about. They said, oh, put your money in the stock market, and okay, so if it goes up and I'm going to lose it, and I didn't know how to do that, that made no sense to me for me to put thousands of dollars in the stock market and then let it sit there. To me, that was a waste of money. Then they said, well, it'll go down, but then it comes back up, you're going to gain. Okay, but I'm still losing money. I'm losing, I'm gaining, I'm losing, I'm gaining. Okay, when do we pull it out? When did I put it in? Okay, you do a day trade, you pull it out at the end of the day or pull it out after a couple hours it's been there. We have to understand what's going on, you guys. We have to understand how to invest. We have to understand what area, where are we at right here? Where are we at as far as this economy reset? People, we've been so busy, we've been so duped trying to do football games, and they're trying to bring Jay-Z and Gucci or whatever. I don't even know whatever. But we focus on that instead of being focused on this economy, instead of being focused on buying silver. I told people, I did a show, buy the silver. You're paying $30, you hold on to it, it's going to be worth $5,000 to $7,000 for a $30 investment. Hold on to it. I'm just saying, y'all look to be like I was crazy. Some men say, dollar's good. The dollar will never go away. Oh, it's going away. Trust and believe me, your 401k, you're going to lose it. So keep your 401k, keep your stock market investments. Keep all of that stuff that's connected to the stock market, and you're going to lose it. I'm just saying, yes, it's going up, but sometimes you got to pull that stuff out and pull out. Like, say, for instance, you got $5,000. Pull out that and just invest with $1,000. Just invest with $2,000. Let that grow. Okay? That may grow to $10,000. Okay, leave $5,000 in. Take the other $5,000 out. My thing is, I would never ride $40,000. I would never roll with $40,000 in the stock market and lose $40,000 and then, well, you know, it's going to grow back. Okay, you didn't lost it, then it's growing. No, I don't have the patience for that. But my thing is, if that's your thing, you do it. But I need people, financial advisors, that's going to lead me in the right direction to help me to understand that it's all about investing right now, and it's all about us not just, you know, sitting our money in the bank. It's not just sitting, you know, in a 401k. It's not just sitting there connected to the stock market because the stock will go down. The 401k goes down, right?
And then if they do a bank in, a bail in, okay, that means the bank closes down, just like the Depression, and all the money that's in the bank is stuck in there. They do insure like up to, you know, up to a certain amount. But if they have enough money to do it, some people didn't get none of their money back from the Depression. So I'm not the one that's going to take chances on my money. So what are we losing? We lost knowledge. We lost knowledge for not doing for self. We lost knowledge getting up under our enemy and allowing them to teach us. Because what did they teach us? Nothing. They taught you how nothing you are. They taught you what? Are they teaching you how to invest? Are they teaching you about the wealth? They have a total different conversation when it comes to them. They don't talk about stuff that they will talk about when it's just them. They don't even talk to you about investing. They don't. You have to just happen to eavesdrop on the conversation and just be listening to their conversation. And they ain't going to say it. They're going to talk in a way where that's going to be in code, so you're still not going to know. My thing is you have to understand what it costs us. If you don't know your history, if you don't understand what it is costing us now, and it's still costing us by integrating with them, it's still costing you every day. And we complain about it every day, but we do nothing about it. So when people start complaining about, you know, police officers shooting, police officers brutalizing, police officers, whatever, my thing is right now I look at them and go, okay, what are you going to do about it? If you're not willing to do anything, why are you talking about it? Just shut up about it, continue taking it until you decide to do something about it, because it is going to take us taking care of us. It's not going to take anybody else. Nobody else in this world cares about black people. Black people don't even care about black people. So guess what? When you're tired of getting beat down, when you're tired of being murdered, when you're tired of being used by the Democratic Party, maybe you'll come up with your own political party. And kudos to my brother that's trying to do that. I'm just saying, we have to get to the point where we are expecting something different, doing something different, and we have a changed mindset. You can't keep the same mindset you had for the last 60 years and say, oh, yeah, we're moving up. Boy, we moved up a half, just like I look at the bank and every month, and they say, oh, you got a third of a penny. You got a third of, what the hell, what's a third of a penny? What the hell, what is that? How much is a third of a penny? I'm just saying, that's how much interest rate. Somebody said, your interest rate, you know, you got better. And I'd be like, well, how much is that? I'm not looking at my bank that did it, whatever didn't grow. So we can't sit here and just settle for nothing. We can't just keep settling for nothing. They're offering you absolutely nothing. And then when we do try to break away to get what's good for us or what we think is good for us, or when we start talking black conversations, then you got some that say, well, you know, we tried that. Well, you know, Black Wall Street, they tried that, and they gone. Black Wall Street, they killed everybody, tried. Black Wall Street, they keep on making excuses why they don't want to try. My thing is, you don't want to try, you sit there. The ones that do, let's get together, and let's make it happen. Let's move. We're not celebrating Christmas. We're not buying up a whole lot of toys. I told my granddaughter, I said, I don't celebrate Christmas. I said, but her birthday, her born day, I am going to invest in her future. I am buying her silver. I'm just saying, I am investing in your future. You're going to hold on to that silver, so she wants her own business. I am going to give her enough money so that she can buy her own building, and you can rent that building out. We did a project the other day. I told you she goes to a moving school, and I'm telling you, they are teaching them how to invest. They're teaching them how to become business owners. I mean, just the curriculum is strict. It's black. It's a black curriculum, and they're teaching them about money. They're teaching them about investing. They're teaching them about family. They're teaching them about how to eat. It's an amazing school. I love it. She's not Muslim. I'm not Muslim, but her dad is. But they're teaching her how to change her thought process. She'll come to me and say, Grandma, what about da-da-da? And you know, we'll research it because there's some things that I don't agree with, but we research it, and I said, well, here's truth. You always go and do your own research. I said, even when you're talking about religion, you have to do your own research. It's all about not talk about my, you know, my, it's not about religion. It's talk about relationship. We talk about that. But it's time, you know, and I told her, I said, this is who you are. You know, when you get to be an adult or when you get older, you can decide what's what. But right now, we put you in the school so that you can change your thinking so your thought process can be different, because if you're not around something different and you listen to Fox News all the time and you're looking at, you know, being murdered on TV and you're thinking about, you know, you're looking at the poverty stricken, you're looking at the, you know, everything negative about black people, your mindset is tainted. You're looking through dirty lenses at society. You're looking out at the world through these dirty lenses and you'll think, man, we just don't have a chance. Yes, we do. We always have a chance. We are worth $1.3 trillion
and we're worth something nationally, we can have our own defense. Nationally, every city can have their own community grocery store, and it can be as big as Walmart. It may not start out that big, but if everybody put aside $10 per pay, it's $20 a month, and put it into a collective local kitty where you can say, okay, this is how much we are trying to save. You can do a GoFundMe. This is how much we're trying to save for the community store. And we start with our own community stores. We don't go to Walmart. We don't go to Kmart. We don't go to Zehrs. We don't go to Ventures. We don't go to Food Lion. We don't go to all these other stores. We start with our own community store. And you can have, okay, say, for instance, if I have a clothing line, I'll have a little space that I'll rent that space out, and I'll put me some clothing back there. Somebody else may have a shoe line that they want to put their own gym shoes or their own shoes back there. That's another. I pay rent to the store, and I can rent my little space out. Then we have another one that has a food line. We have their own food brand. And then we have another one that sells smoothies. We have another one that bakes bread. We have another one that caters. We can all have that in our community stores. We can have those different departments in our own community stores. So just for instance, if somebody does a lot of catering, if you need a caterer, you can go to the community store, and that caterer is there, and she, you know, you have the pie lady, the bakery part. Okay. We call this group economics. Dr. Claude Anderson talked about this, but we as black folks, we'll sit there and we'll complain about going to Walmart. We'll complain about eating their unhealthy food, but we won't do anything about it. If you're tired of Walmart, then we get our community store. You can have a vegan aisle. You can have a whole food aisle. You can have better tasting food. We can grow our own. You can have your flea market, not a flea market, but your vegetable market there. You can have your own section where people have grown this and they've grown that, and that's their section. We can have that in our own community store. So when we're complaining, if we're not doing anything different, that's what it's cost us. It's cost us our mindset. It's caused us to be confused. It's cost us to not to have hope. We don't think that we can do anything. We just look at that and we look at them abusing us and we think, oh my God, I guess we'll be like this forever. Oh my goodness, I just wish that we could do this and I wish we could do that and I wish, oh my God, I wish. And we don't have any hope. We don't have any dreams. We don't have aspirations. We just sit there, well, I see the others, you know, the Mexicans have their food trucks and oh my God, I wish we could have our food truck. Well, I see the Indians, they have their own corner store. I wish we could have our corner stores. Well, I see the Chinese over here and they got the nail shops and they have the, you know, the beauty supply. I wish we could have our own nail shop. I wish we could have our own beauty supply. Why can't we? Why are we sitting up there just looking at all these other people that were not born here and they stick together? I told you we can have a foundation. Well, we can put money into it locally or we can do it nationwide. And we can pull from the kitty if we do it nationwide. We can pull from the kitty and we can build our own black salons, our black beauty supply places. We can have our own black nails. We can have our own black pedicures done. We can have a place to go for our own black food. We can have, if you're a Chinese person, a black Chinese person, know how to do Chinese without cooking dogs, we can have our own black Chinese, because I'm sure we got some black Chinese people out there. You like Chinese food? I'm sure we have some black Chinese people out there that can cook Chinese, and you can open up your own Chinese restaurant, and you can cook regular chicken and not dog and cat or whatever else they be eating over there. Okay, I'm just saying, we can have our own Chinese restaurant. We can have our own Jamaican restaurant. We can have our own lamb dishes and our own goat dishes and our own, I'm just saying, all of this meat that you, all these restaurants that you go and spend your money with them, black folk, you know how to cook. We can have our own, as long as you're black, as long as we're producing black materials, black manufacturers, we can have our own manufacturing company. And right next to our grocery store, community store, we can have our manufacturer that manufacture clothes. I have an African. We can have our African attire. We can manufacture right here in America. We get African people right here that can get that stuff from Africa for us, and they can sell it in our community stores or our manufacturer. We can manufacture it. Okay? You have different shoes that you want. We have our own manufacturer. We can do that. Or whatever it is we want to manufacture. If we want to manufacture our own masks, we can do that. We have got to do for self in order to survive what's coming. And if you are sitting here complaining, then I don't want to hear it. I'm done. I don't want to hear no more complaints. This is what it has cost black people by not doing for self. It's cost us millions, trillions of dollars, trillions. Guess what? It cost, how much did they say the Chinese made off of beauty? Like billions of dollars. It cost billions of dollars. We lost billions of dollars because the Chinese did the hair, okay? We have people that sell hair online. Why can't we buy hair from them? Why can't we do, see, this is what I'm saying. You have people out there selling this stuff. You won't even Google to see who is in your area that's going to sell what. You won't do anything different. You keep thinking, well, yes, we do have a black-owned beauty supply place. But have anybody, I still see them going. We have one in my area, a black beauty supply place. I love him. But guess what? I still see black folks going to the Chinese right up the street. It's right one up the street, the Chinese, and it's on the other side of town. And I see more black people going to the other side of town. Well, you could live on this side of town that can actually go to the black-owned. But guess what do? They complain, and they talk about the Chinese, how the Chinese are racist and how the Chinese don't treat them well and how the Chinese abuse them. But guess what we do? We run right to the Chinese restaurant because I've seen it. We run right over there to the Chinese supply place, and we complain. What are you complaining about if you're not willing to do anything different? That's my question. What else has it cost us? Okay, I'm just saying we can have our own businesses. We don't have to patronize Walmart. Any business that you see in America that you don't want here, we can shut them down. Because we patronize Walmart. A lot of black folks in black areas, we patronize Walmart. So why are we still patronizing stores that don't treat us well? Tell me why do we patronize Chinese that don't treat us well? Tell me why we are patronizing a whole lot of businesses that don't know how to treat you well. You go into the Indian stores. You go into the Pakistani stores. The gas stations, they don't know how to treat you. They don't speak. You gotta pay. It's gotta be open to you in order for you to use your card. You gotta spend over $5. Why? I don't want to spend. I just want a soda. Can I use my card and I don't have change? Can I just use my card? Nope. You gotta spend $5. It will tell you what you have to spend. Then they take a fee off of it. No. Then they put a store in a black area and EBT card and stuff in that store so high you still go there and spend your earned, whether you earned it or not, that's EBT. So for whatever reason, whether you own it because you have children and you don't have a job, whatever, you're going through a rough time, whatever, it's your business. But guess what? You deserve to be able to go to a corner store and pay maybe 30 cents, 50 cents for a can of beans instead of paying $1.50. Or I've seen bread $5. I've seen milk for $4. I mean, I'm like, I've seen stuff that I could buy at the dollar store. I've seen it at the Pakistani store at the corner that they cost charge you up the yin yang to get a can of anything, a can of beans, $1.50. I'm just saying, when it's at this other store, 38 cents, 50 cents, so you're paying $1 more for it. I'm just saying, they're making money off of us, and we're not getting nothing out of it. They're in your neighborhood. You can run them out by not patronizing them. You can put a store right next door to them, and we can have our own black-owned store right next to them. And then you dare somebody black to come and go in another store. I dare you. We're going to deal with these coons. We're going to deal with these black folks that don't know how to be black. We're going to deal with these black folks that don't want to patronize themselves. Come on. I'm just saying. We complain all the time, but we don't do anything different. Stop with the complaint. Stop it. I've heard enough. I don't want to hear one more complaint as I'm hanging up. Don't call me complaining. Don't text me complaining. Don't email me complaining. Don't complain about nothing. I'm going to ask you, what are you doing about it? That's my question to you. What are you doing about it? We could have had our own hospitals. I'm just saying. You have doctors. You have dentists. You have nurses that could come together and open up a clinic right on the corner. I'm just saying, why aren't they doing it? We have doctors, black doctors from Nigeria, from, I don't know, I've seen them from, most of them are from Africa and Nigeria. I've seen black doctors. I'm sure we have some American ones too, but I've seen them. How come you guys have not put your money together and built a small clinic, start small with a clinic first, and then you put your money together and build a hospital? I'm just saying, where you can employ other black nurses, other black doctors, other black therapists, other black whatever, other black EKGs, other black midwives, other black therapists, other black rehabbers. I'm just saying. So we complain about what? That's what it's cost us. It's cost us. You think a lot of us wouldn't have died of COVID? A lot of would have died of COVID if we would have had our own clinics? You think we would have taken our own lives? You think they would have? They did a lot of stuff that they had no business doing, because we've seen, remember how a lot of nurses was coming on there. One white nurse was coming on there and said, oh, they killing black folk up in here. She came on there and she told us that. She said they're putting ventilators, they're doing it all wrong. You weren't supposed to do it this way, they weren't supposed to do it that way. She was on there telling them everything. And what we do? Did we even try after COVID? Have we gotten any private clinics? Did any doctors come together and say, we're not going to do this, we're going to do this right here. We're going to put us a clinic together, we're not even going to build it. We're going to get us a building right now, wherever that building is, wherever it's cheaper for us to start. We're going to start here, we're going to have a clinic. Y'all come here and y'all pay $20, $30 a visit. I'm just saying, for now. Or we'll take the insurance. If you got a job, you got insurance, we'll take your insurance and we'll do this, that, and the other. But the ones that don't have money, we'll give you whatever need. We'll have do a $25, $30 visit. You don't have to do a $100 visit, the office visit. I'm just saying, for now, you're starting small. But guess what? Eventually, you're gonna have people that's coming because they know that they can afford, you know, medical care. And then then we can build our own hospitals. Then we can get our own testing, our own EKG, our own mammograms, our own colon cleaner, our own whatever. I'm just saying, that's what it's cost a family. I'm just saying. Because I don't believe that many people would have died, black folk, of COVID would have died if we would have had our own hospitals. Okay? What else has cost us? It's cost us our families. Okay, I remember back in the day, we had two families, two member families, a father and a mother. Okay, I'm not talking about no gay. I'm not talking about no dad and dads. I'm not talking about moms and I'm talking about black men and a black woman. Okay? All that craziness, I'm not even going to discuss that. Okay? I'm just not even going to discuss it. That's what you want to do. You go over there, but you're not willing in the black atmosphere over there. Okay, you keep that over there. Go get your deliverance. Go on over there with your white folks. And you can be gay. You can do what you want to do. But I'm talking about black, male or female. Okay, that's what it's cost us. I remember when we had two parent households, right? What happened? We integrated. Okay? We refused to come from the mom. We took on our enemy's nature. Okay? We started molesting our babies. This is what it's cost us. It's cost us our sanity. It's caused confusion. Okay? We were never to integrate with them. Never, 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 never. Elijah, Yahshua, Elijah, they say Elijah Muhammad, they never told us to mix and mingle. Thereupon, here tell you, we ain't got no business mixing and mingling with them. Okay? We were never. That's what it's cost us. It's cost us our families. It's cost us our husbands. It's cost us our wives. It's cost us, you know, for the men, it's cost you your wives. Now we got all this feminist stuff going on. Well, I can do it by myself. I'm not trying to do nothing by myself. Shut up. I don't even want to hear your mouth when you tell me I'm trying to do it by myself. Do it by yourself over there. Because we are trying to do it by ourselves. We need our men. I need my husband. It's nothing here I can't do without my husband. And I'm telling you, I love my husband. I will act like a big old baby. Honey, can you do so-and-so, so-and-so? I need you to do something. Honey, I'm just saying. I'm not no feminist. I believe in teamwork. I believe that, honey, can you take trash out? Honey, can you cut the grass? I don't go out there trying to cut his grass. That's his grass. He go out there. He go on his little riding lawnmower. And I ain't touch that riding lawnmower. I wouldn't even know what to do. But when he go out there, I make such a big deal. Oh, my grass. Oh, my God, I'm so pleased. It's so beautiful. I just make a big deal. So every week he go out there and cut the grass. And I'm, oh, my God, let me look at my yard. Oh, my God. Make a big deal out of it. That's what we're supposed to do. I'm just saying, I'm not one of these feminists. So if you sit up there telling me, oh, I can do it by myself, I don't need a man, I don't have kids by myself, I'm going to do it by myself, then you go over there with the white folks and do it by yourself, because that ain't what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be, we're supposed to have men. We're supposed to have husbands because we bought the hype. We bought into the hype, ladies. We had our man. They the ones that was having a problem with their man. So you jumping on that bandwagon, and look, they got their man, and where yours at? I'm just saying. Y'all look like y'all crazy fools sitting up here trying to do it by yourself. I'm not even. Lord, I'm trying to get through this. I love me some black folks, but we got to do better. They didn't talk you out of your husband. They didn't talk you out of your family. They didn't talk you out of your family. They didn't talk you out of your babies, your male children having their dads, and you didn't experience. You didn't settle for their Section 8. They'll tell you. We'll give you Section 8 if you don't bring your baby's daddy or your husband in the house with you. What in the hell are you talking about? Since when? No, I'm not going to not have my husband.
I don't need your stuff. Me and my husband are going to work together. We're going to get our house together, and we're going to have our family together. That's what you ladies need to start telling them. We don't need your Section 8. Me and my man are going to work together. We're going to get married, and we're going to do this thing together. And my son is going to have his father, and we are not going to just, you know, do this single thing. He's going to live over there inside town, and I'm going to live over here, and we're going to work harder. Because we want to live by ourselves and we want to be single and we don't want to be married and we want to, you know, work like we all alone on this earth by ourselves. No, we are going to come together and we are going to have a family and we're going to be married. We have to change our mindset, ladies. We have to change our mindset, men. It's time for us to come back together as family, married man and woman, wife and husband. It is time for us to start teaching our sons how to be fathers, how to be husbands, how to be providers, and it's time for us to teach our daughters how to be mothers, how to be wives, how to be cleaners, domestic wives, how to, and you know, if you want to work, you can work part-time. You don't have to work full-time. You can work part-time, and you can spend, you know, have your babies at your mom's house, or it's time for us to bring, you know, mom back in where grandma can help. It's time for us to bring our families back together. And we build the family. We build the village that we want. It's time for us to change our mindset. We done gone all off everything. We no morals. We just done got all off focus. It just makes no sense. I just cannot make sense of it. I just don't like what I'm seeing, and I'm trying to get us to rein it in. We got to rein it in. We got to do better. We are we've just dropped the ball, and we just have no. We just do whatever. We don't have no commitment to God. We don't have a connection. We don't have a relationship with God. We just went from bad to worse. We left the churches and we didn't left churches forever. We got to get to the place where we are coming back, bringing it back in. Okay, what else have we lost? Our babies. Talked about that. We have been overrun with homosexuality. Behavior learned from slave masters, butt breaking, our men, women, and children, Willie Lynn syndrome. We've learned how to conform. We've learned how to not to think for ourselves, to allow the media, to allow different white folks to tell us how we are going to be and how we are going to dress and how, you know, our morals. We've learned how to be more pedophiles. We've learned we've taken that trait off of them. We saw how they've broken our men and how they're trying to tell us, our little boys, that's being tough, and we're teaching our boys how to be men and how to be tough and rough, that's toxic masculinity. You don't let them white folks tell you nothing. We want our men to be men. I don't want my husband when to walk around here switching. I don't want him in the window, in the mirror, looking like, you know, doing his little eyebrows. I don't want him doing all that. I want a man. I want a real man. I don't need all of this dysfunctional mess going on. You sitting looking around, you see your husband in a dress. You know, what you doing in a dress? Candace Owen was talking about one of the men. He was a white guy, and I think they had a fit because he was white. He was in a dress, and he was on the cover of Vogue, and she had a fit. Why are you having a fit? You ain't never had a fit. If he was black, you would have had a fit. You wouldn't have said nothing. That right there, that devil man, that devil right there, she needs to be dealt with. And that's when one of the two thirds is going to die because she is sold out to the white folks. She didn't marry the white man. She didn't have a baby mama. She is sold out. Her man is gone. So she had a fit. She was fighting because the white man was in a dress. And he was on one of the magazines, and she had a fit. But I'm going to guarantee you, when Billy Porter had a dress on, you ain't hear him now. When he was going in front of, had a dress on, and he went to the little ball, and when he was, Sesame Street was with the little kids, and he was infringing on the kids' mental state. Nobody said nothing. She didn't have a fit about that. And when she saw that white man, because it was portraying her daddy in a dress, and her kids' daddy in a dress, and gonna make her kids dysfunctional, she had something to say, didn't she? Black woman, okay? That's not your fight. I'm just saying. It's time for us to bring it on in. It's time for us to will it on in, and it's time for us to get the help that we need so that we can be the people that God created us to be, because we got next, and we're not ready to have next. We got next, and we're sitting up here confused and don't know which way to go and don't know how to create nothing. And we created the earth. We built this. We built this right here, and we should know how to continue on. But we looking like we lost. What we do first? What we do next? Can we do this? Is it time yet? I'm on my job. I don't need nobody telling me what to do on my job. If I know what my job is, let me do it. You don't have to micromanage. I got it. Now, some of them people you need to micromanage, you know who you need to micromanage, you micromanage them. I don't need you to micromanage because I know what I'm doing and I got this and I'm going to make it happen. Seriously. So it's time for us to change our mindset. It's time for us to know that we can do this and we got this. It's time for us to know we've been doing it. What happened? We ain't going to stop. We built this. If we built this, we can build another one. If we built this, we can build another one. We can build it better. Okay? We can build it better than what they had because we built Black Wall Street and do the homework. That ain't the only black cities we had. We had several black cities. But guess what? You allowed them to infiltrate. You allowed them to come in and infiltrate your communities. Now, once we build up our new black communities, you got black folks, you got them coons, they're trying to bring them white wives in there. Hell to the no. You get on over there and you stay on over there. We're not allowing you to infiltrate. You want to date Becky, you stay over there with Becky's mama and daddy and you do that over there. You can't bring this into the black reconstruction 2021, the black community. You're not bringing Heather over here. We're not bringing all these white ideas. We're going to bring it back to where it needs to be. Bring your mentality back to where it needs to be. We are going to keep it black, strictly black, loving black, doing black, being black, talking black, thinking black, blackity black, period. We're done with all of this mixing and mingling stuff. Bring it on in and do what we need to do because we have lost a lot. We have lost our minds. We're walking in so much confusion right now that everything they tell us, they tell us how to think. They tell us what to do. It should be the other way around. We're supposed to be telling them. We're supposed to be leading God now. We're looking at them. This is what we're supposed to be doing now. What we need to do next. How we're supposed to be thinking. What's going on with the black community? How you going to ask them what's going on with your community? You live in your community. They can't tell you what it is to be black. But you're asking them, what's next? What do we do? What's the next trend? What's the next style? So if they put their man in the dress, they put your boy in a tutu, well, I guess that's the new style now. Hell to the no. You don't put my son in the dress. And my husband ain't wearing none either. And then you have them telling you, oh, we're going to do these, we're going to get, multiple wives. No, we're not doing that either. I'm just saying. Come on. We got to get back to the basics. We know how to do this. We know how to do this. We built this. We don't need them telling us what to do. We don't need them telling us how to be black. We don't need this. We've lost. This is what it has cost us in the black community, not doing for self. I'm just saying. Let's see what else this cost us. Our own city. We had our own. But then we allowed somebody to come and tell us, hey, we got all of this over here. Let's go over there and see how cold their ice is. Look, we should have told Martin Luther King, look, I don't care how cold their ice is. They can have their ice. I'm not going over there with them devils. I'm not going back over there. We came from up under them. I'm not going back under them. G brought us back up under them devils. We was in slavery for 400 years. We was on our own, had 200 cities, and we listened to a man and said, hey, we want to integrate with them. No, we don't. We already tried that. That was a disaster. They was hanging us up on trees, and you want to go back? You go back. We're going to stick over here, and we're going to keep doing us. That's what we're doing now. This is what I want to hear now. Them coons want to stay over there. They want to keep on mixing and mingling. They want to help their enemies survive by having their babies. You go ahead. But guess what? For me and mine, we're going to be over here with the blackness. We're going to get us some land. We're going to have 19 families to come together. We're going to buy some land and build our own communities. And it's going to be blackity, black, black, black. No mixing and mingling. No bringing Heather in there. No bringing Jim Crow Joe over there. No bringing Carmella-looking folk in there. You got to be blackly, black, 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 and you got to have black on your birth certificate or you ain't coming either, and you got to have a black part, and you got to think black. If you can't think black and have your black first mentality, then you stay over there with the coons and you keep moving because you're not invited amongst black folks. I'm just saying, until we get to that point, y'all, family, we have just accepted anything and everything. Well, you know, she down with us, but she white. No, she ain't down with nothing. We're not down with her. I'm just saying, we've had enough of this mixing. We have had enough, folks, because we'll go all out for her, and you'll let your own suffer and get her back. But when it comes down to her having your back, who had that baby's back? When that 15-year-old just drowned, who had his back? His sons didn't even have his back. The white woman who took him from his mama's house didn't even have his back. But had it been Amanda, we would have had that baby. Ain't no way in the world she would have. If that white boy was at my house
Ain't no way in the world I'd let him leave my house. I would have took him, drove him right on back, wouldn't we? That's how we roll, but that's not how the white folk roll. But you still trying to have your kids be friends with them devils. But you ain't learned yet. That's on you. That's on you. I'm just saying. It's time for us to think different. You think you're moving up when you're moving around white folks. You think you, when you're moving out the black neighborhood, you think, oh, we got it going on now. We in the mix now. Yeah, you with them. Did you see that I seen the on Facebook where the white woman brought her dog to the couple's house with a taser in her hand, and she had her dog, and she said something about why can't you act black? Why can't you, you know, white neighborhood? Why can't you act white? I'm not white, and for one, they should have been in that neighborhood in the first place. So now you've got to have all this hell on your job dealing with them crackers. Then you got to come home in your neighborhood and deal with them crackers. Where's your peace at, family? Where's your peace? Just because you're moving in the neighborhood with them don't make it peaceful. Don't mean that you're moving up because you're moving away from your own. You move around your own that's got the same mentality you got, that everybody's trying to grow, everybody's trying to do what they're supposed to do. We're going to come together. We're going to be a family in this community, and we're going to help each other, and we're going to do for each other. We got to bring it back, family. We got to, being around them, we have taken on their characteristics, that they don't care about each other. They'll put their mom in the nursing home. We didn't got to the point where we'll put our mom in the nursing home and won't even go visit. Don't even care how she's doing. Won't even see about her. No, that's not our character. We take care of our moms. We take care of our people. We take care of our family. That's they stuff that we've taken on to their character. We've taken on their mindset. We've adopted their behaviors. No, we're not going to do it anymore. Now, we're not going to sit up here continuously complaining about what they're doing to us when we're not doing anything to help ourselves. So guess what? Before you complain, I can't complain because I'm not doing anything to help my culture. I'm not doing anything to free my culture. That's what you should be saying. Let's see. I always tell them I'm moving with your enemy somewhere. Sit down somewhere. And talk about the job. Talk about how we lost, what happened. We need construction companies right now, black folks. We can come up with our own construction companies because guess what? We're getting ready to buy some land and we're getting ready to build our own communities. We need our own role, people that do roads, people that build houses, people that bricklays, construction workers. We need that. We've allowed immigrants to replace all that. No, we need our own black companies. Where's my house building companies? Where's my black men that can build houses, that can paint, that can plumber, that can electricians? Where are my black men that can do these jobs? And you mean tell me we don't know how to do electrician work? We don't have no more plumbers. We don't have no more bricklayers. We don't have no more masons. We don't have no more who can build roads, who can do lawns, and who can do make the lawns pretty, who can cut the grass. We don't have no tree planters. We don't have, where are they? Where are our men that can do this? Where are our business owners? This is what we lack in our community. This is what happens when we conform with white folks. This is what happened. This is what it cost us. What did it cost us? This is what it cost us. I remember our children come out of school, plumbers come out of school, electricians come out of school, as hairstylists came out of school. All they had to do was get their license, take the test, and have their own business. And that's what we were doing. And that's why white folks stopped it. That's why they stopped it. Like and share the video, you guys. Like and share. That's why they stopped us. That's why. Because we was doing that thing, honey. We was coming out with our own business. I see more and more black folks. Where my caterers at? I see they on the side of the road with tents now. In the summertime, I'm telling you, some of these days, y'all got your little tents. Come on out. Do smoothies. Do the barbecue. Do the thing. Get some healthy meals. Be vegan. Where my vegans at? Come on. We need somebody. We need these different businesses. You know, you get a tent for now. Share a tent. I'm just saying. Get one of these tents. Start sharing a tent. It's raining. Okay. Get one of them bigger tents where you got the walls and the windows and come on and have your businesses. It could be a big enough tent where group economics, it's two of you guys or three of you guys that can buy a tent and rent a tent, and you can set that tent up in one of these empty lots, and that could be your business until you get enough money where you can rent a building. I'm just saying, I'm tired of us complaining what we don't have. We complain about these white folks, but we're not trying to do anything better. Let's see what else we can do. Oh, yeah, trusting black folk that look like us but was hired, trained by our enemies to come against their own, to be used to hurt the black community and keep us downsized. That's how we hurt ourselves, because we have conformed.
we're allowing them to tell us and show us and whisper in our ear. I see Nick Cannon with that white Jew man, okay? And I look at and I see, look at brainwashing, totally brainwashing, you know. It's so sad because he's still buck breaking. He's still buck breaking with Nick, and he's putting it on national. And now he's talking about because Nick has, you know, has a really big following. So now he's trying to impact and giving him a whole platform to talk and a whole platform to tell his lies. You don't need no platform. He don't need to even be in your presence. He don't deserve to be. A liar don't deserve to be in your presence, Nick. A liar and a devil don't deserve to be in your presence. You don't have to make. You don't have to appease them. You made Viacom, Vlad, you made them a Viacom or whoever it was. You made them build $1 trillion. Wasn't it $1 trillion? You made them $10 trillion, I think it was, you said. Instead of you making that for yourself, you made it for them. Okay, now that you know you can, now go and make that for yourself. And you can get all of the other entertainers to come in and entertain. Come on in. We're going to build our own TV podcast. We're going to do our own radio stations. We're going to do our own this, that, and the other. It's time for black people to come together and do for self. I'm just saying. We've allowed them to take everything from us. So now we look up and we don't have anything. We don't have our own schools. We don't have our own hospitals. We don't have our own TV shows. So they put the ratchetest TV movies on there, and we sitting there watching it. They put everything on there that's making us look like, giving us a bad name, and we sitting there watching it. And we, the Empire, what a 50 Cent movie, what, I don't know, all these crazy Atlanta Housewives, and they fighting, they acting catty. Where are the shows that's going to teach us how to be entrepreneurs? Where are the shows that's going to teach us how to be business owners? Where are the shows that's going to teach us how to invest? Where are the shows that's going to teach us how to come up with our own businesses? Where are those shows at? I don't want to see an Empire show. I don't want to see two men laying in the bed together. I don't want to see two, a WAP movie about our children. I don't see, I want to see, 7-year-old kissing and making out and on Netflix. I don't want to see that. Where are our movies? Where is our entertainment? Where is our stuff at? Our construction sites, our manufacturing companies, where are our stuff at? We've looked at them build. We've looked at them do whatever. Okay, now it's our turn. We have the money to do this. We are worth $1.2 trillion. I'm just saying, what are we doing? What have we done with that money? Christmas is coming up. I don't want to see nobody spending thousands of dollars on toys. I want to see you investing in your own business. I want to see you investing in your children's business when they get older. I want to see you investing in Dr. Claude Anderson's Powernomic books. You buy them $100. Those books cost $100. You get like 6 books. Go and invest in those books. I'm just saying, Powernomic. Dr. Boyce Watkins, he had something with his money as far as teaching children how to invest their money and spend their money. What to do with black wealth and how to create black wealth and all types of stuff. That's what we should be teaching us. That's what we should be learning. That's what we should be teaching our children. This is what I'm saying. This is what we've lost. What is it? What has it? What is it that costs black families for not doing for self? What does it cost us? That's what it cost us. It cost us everything. To conform for white folks, it cost us everything, family. Let's see what else it cost us. Let's see what else. And I'm almost done. 90 seconds, but we're going to go just a little bit longer. It cost, our pastors, our black leaders that were supposed to represent, protect, and lead us and look out for our best interests. What did it cost us? But we allowed them to come in, and they sold us out. Our black leaders, every last black caucus member has sold us out. Every black caucus leader, they used our leaders. And they teach our leaders how to think like them. They teach our leaders how to infiltrate us. They teach our leaders how to come in, and because you're black, we don't suspect that you are playing games. We don't suspect that you're going to cause harm. So we trust you, but we're not understanding how to recognize. I'm going to do a show next show. Going to be on how to recognize a B1 and how to recognize coons that then came in to infiltrate. How to recognize the Roland Martins of the world that'll come in and convince you that it's okay to vote for a Democrat, a person that has done nothing for you. A person, we know how to recognize the Stacey Abrams, the Gilliams, okay? I'm just saying, these are black people that look like us but don't have black interests at heart. Look how they treated their own people. Their governors, they are not governors, but they are mayors, and they have Congress and their senators. What laws have they written for their own? What laws have they written for the immigrants? What laws have they written for DACA? What laws have they written for everybody else but black people? We have to start recognizing black folks. We have to start recognizing who's in our circle. If they talk black, but they look black, but if they're surrounded by white folks, they're not black. They're safe. They're safe. That's how you start recognizing black folks. That's B1. We don't have a whole lot of black white folks around us. We don't have a whole lot of white folks being friends. We don't have a whole lot of white folks on our Instagram or our Facebook page. But those coons, that's all you see on their page. That's all they got around them. They don't have no black folk. Gilliam, he had a black folk around him. I'm just saying, we have to start recognizing black folks. Some of these mayors, Keisha Adams, I'm sure she is there to impress white folks and other folks that are in office. We have to understand what's going on, okay? It's called banana necks. They use our leaders, pay them so well. Only thing is, they don't request nothing. Our leaders don't. But the white folk is paying you, so they want you to think and do. They're going to send you on assignment to come in and infiltrate your own, okay? They're going to come in and tell you what you can't do for your own, what you can't do for black folks, what you won't ever do for black folks. No loans. Don't never acknowledge black folk needs. No house builders, no building of community, no nothing. I'm just saying. We had a black president to deal well for us. Ignore black folks. And then called you thugs. We've been traumatized and abused because we chose not to separate from our open enemies, from our abusers. We keep giving them a chance after chance after chance. We keep forgiving them. Everything that they do, we just keep forgiving them. Always forgiving them. No change. We even voted in devils that both have told you they weren't going to do anything for a black community, but we voted them in anyway. But we're damaged. We don't think much about ourselves. But it's time for us to change. It's time for us to do better. It's time for us to start thinking about us. It's time for us to know that we are important. It's time for us to love us. It's time for us to protect us. It's time for us to do for us. It's time for us to support us. It's time for us to have a change of heart toward us. And the only way it's going to start is us teaching us, educating our own children, changing our minds, and being black first. What is black first? Black first means I am only for my own. I only want to see my own. I don't want to, I'm not about anybody else but black folk right now. That's what being black first means. That means that you have a heart for your own. You. It's not about anybody else. Time for us to think about only about ourselves. We've thought about everybody else but us. Now it is our time to think about only us. It's time for us to go to bat for us. It's time for us to give them white folks the same energy that you give other black people. Give it to white folks. It's time for us to respect each other. It's time for us to respect us. It's time for us to love us. It's time for us to do something different. It's time for us to vote for us. It's time for us to represent us. It's time for us to have our own black party. It's time for us to have a black agenda. It's time for us that we don't put anybody in office that don't have a black agenda. It's time for us that we don't let somebody come and lay on our couch and not do it for us. It's time for us to work together. It's time for us to have each other's back. It's time for us to think about us. We're not thinking about the brown. I don't want to hear no more black and brown. Because they never say, I never hear them say, oh, black and brown. I never hear them say black and brown, anything. I hear brown, but I hear black and brown out of black folk mouth. But I'll never hear black and brown out of a Mexican's mouth. Do you? Or an immigrant's mouth. Do you? I always hear black and brown out of a black person's mouth. I don't want to hear no more black and brown. Black and brown, nothing. It's only black. Blackity, black, period. This is a black show. This is a black channel. And we do black, we talk black here. So it's time for us to do for us. And with that said, thank you, YouTube, for tuning in. Want you to like and share the video. Blog Talk. We'll be back next Friday. Keep in touch because it might change back to Thursday. Even if it's Thanksgiving, well, I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but I may do it on Friday if I can. Okay, so just be I'll put it up when I can come back. You know, if I'm gonna be Thursday or Friday. So just be looking at the comments and be looking at because I'll put it on before like a day before. If I'm coming on Thursday, I'll post it Wednesday. If I'm coming on Friday, I'll post it on Thursday. I do appreciate everybody that tuned in, and I want us to change our mindset and change our heart, black folks. It's time for us to do different. It's time for us to love us. With that said, family, y'all keep what I said in mind and have an amazing night and have an amazing day.
Have a great rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Keep your head on a swivel and start investing in you. Peace, family. And thank you for tuning in to Black First. Thank you, Blog Talk. I appreciate each and every one of you guys that tuned in. And we'll do this again sometime. Peace, family.
The name.